back to His Time. It is Thursday, which means it is time to check in with Jane Wilkie from Lutheran Senior Services. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Andy.
Happy Thursday to you.
Thank you. And what a Thursday. Oh, my goodness, coming in. You had to drive farther than I did. But when I first got up this morning, my staff was texting with each other because one of my staff actually does live in U City. And so I believe that there was a possible tornado there. So
I know it. I heard from one of the forecasters or one of the weather forecasters that it did touch down. There was, a sighting of one touching down somewhere in U City or somewhere in that area. I can't remember what the exact area was. Yeah.
One of those that just bounced around. Yeah. So I know. Well, for me, the strangest thing that happened overnight is that had nothing to do with the weather. All of a sudden, outside my window, it's probably about 3-4 in the morning, I heard this beep, 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 beep. And I woke up and I thought, okay, I haven't got a weather radio. I know my TV isn't on. That's not what a tornado signal sounds like. That's not my alarm clock. And then I realized it was a car that somehow, some way. So I'm not sure why at 3 o'clock in the morning, because I live in a very quiet building with older adults. And so I'm not sure who was out at that time of the morning.
But. Well, it could have been, I think there was some thunder around that time. It could have set off a car alarm or something.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So strange things happen. So, well, and I did want to share with you, I heard as I was driving in this morning, you mentioned that the Reverend Walt Schadel would be joining us after my talk this morning. However, he is unable to be here. It's non-weather related, but he is not able to be here. So you are just stuck with me for a little bit longer this morning.
Well, more time with Jane is always fun.
But I have some things to talk about. What Reverend Schadel was going to talk about, and I am not going to steal his thunder because we certainly hope he can come back on another time. He is one of the things that Walt does for us as a director of church relations at Lutheran Senior Services. His focus is really how to help congregations have an enriching older adult ministry. And he puts out a quarterly newsletter called Engaging the Aging. And he had written an article in there about investing in the future. And so I will not steal his thunder. I will let him talk about that. But it does kind of do a lead in, because I do believe that what he was going to talk about was how we need to think today about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So he will talk about that. But I thought about that from another standpoint. You know, Andy, the last couple of weeks that I've been on, we've been talking a little bit about planning. Mm-hmm. We've been talking a little bit about being prepared. And of course, today we keep hearing about being prepared for the nasty weather. But are we really all that prepared? And are we only thinking about that point at which we reach older adult age? And I am not talking today about being prepared for where you might live or what kind of home care, getting long-term care insurance, any of those things. What I wanted to share with you today at the very beginning of our time together is something more about all of us being prepared for that moment when we may no longer be able to speak for ourselves. Healthcare Directive Day is coming up on April 16th. And this day, I do not know who designates the day, but I do know that there is an organization called Aging with Dignity, and they have a website, agingwithdignity.org. And the main focus of Aging with Dignity is a piece called Five Wishes. And anyone of any age can fill out this document. You can do it online, or you can get a hard copy from them. And this came onto my radar recently, and I looked through it, and I even had a couple of pastors look through it to make sure that there was nothing in it that would be a violation of what we believe. And basically, Five Wishes is a document where you focus on five things. And think, as I talk about these five wishes, think about what might happen in someone's life where they could no longer speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. So, of course, first thing we think of is a stroke. Someone may have a stroke and they cannot speak for themselves. They may have had such a severe stroke or heart attack that they are put on life support. But also for the younger, car accident, ALS, mm-hmm. there are any number of things that can happen. I mean, just recently in the news, or recently as 6 months, or I don't know, it's probably a year ago, that young 13-year-old girl that I believe she had a tonsillectomy, and something went wrong with bleeding after the tonsillectomy, and she could no longer communicate and speak for herself. So not that I think 13-year-olds necessarily have to do this, but what we really need to think about is what would happen if that car accident came tomorrow, mm-hmm. preparing for the what if. The five wishes that this document deals with is the person I want to make care decisions for me when I can't, the kind of medical treatment I want or don't want, how comfortable I want to be, how I want people to treat me, and what I want my loved ones to know. So this document is put together to really be used in two different ways. One is as a point of conversation. Those are the kind of conversations we really do not wish to have. But as a matter of fact, last evening I was on the phone with my brother-in-law. Sister passed away almost five years ago, and my brother-in-law has an elderly uncle who's 89 years old, and he has never been married. He has no children. He is the only person of that generation left, so his siblings are all gone. So he has started the conversations with my brother-in-law about what to do with his home. And I told my brother-in-law about this document, and I said, you know, has anyone talked to Uncle Will? I call him Uncle Will also, about what would happen if he fell, he had a stroke, he had a heart attack. Who's going to be that person who speaks for him? He has no children, no siblings. And this would be an opportunity to have that conversation.
Right.
And this document really helps you do it because it treats it in a very non-medical and a very comfortable way. Mm-hmm. The document, you read through it, I'm paging through it here, and it really tells you what to think about for each of these questions. But one of the questions that that I'm sure is on people's minds is, well, don't you need an attorney or don't you need to have more of a legal document? And as it turns out, this document, as it has been put together, is able to be used in all states, and it is able to be used as, it's 42 states. And it says that if you are in one of those states where it does not meet the technical requirements, then you do need to work with a lawyer. But mm-hmm. all of this is on their website. In Missouri, it is considered a legal document if it is notarized. So you fill it out, you have someone sign it, and then notarize it. And this you would carry with you or put in a safe place, make additional copies. In fact, many people talk about even leaving it in their glove compartment in case there is a car accident, that a health directive can go there. People who travel a lot, many attorneys are suggesting that they keep their health directive with them in their carry-on case because you never know when something might happen. But when you fill this out, it really is talking about, it really helps you mm-hmm. generate that conversation. To just sit down with someone, and maybe even right now because I'm with Lutheran Senior Services, even thinking about that for your parents or your grandparents.
Right.
What we do discover, because we do care for so many older adults in our organization, is that this is something many people don't want to talk about. So they get to that point in life mm-hmm. and then they are unprepared. Then it becomes crisis mode. It becomes that point where children, brothers and sisters may have a different feeling than that parent did. Or it could even be that the brothers and sisters can't agree. So that adds a level of emotional crisis to an already stressful situation. So if you plan ahead, mm-hmm. you speak your wishes, no matter what your children may or may not want, you have spoken. So you would talk about who you would choose as your healthcare agent. And there are some ideas in here about who not to choose or who does not qualify for a healthcare agent. It talks about the kind of medical treatment I do or don't want. If you're the caregiver and you see this document, what should you keep in mind? What does life support mean? And what does it mean to me? Do I or don't I want it? Some of those definitions. If you're close to death, in a coma, not expected to wake up or recover, permanent and severe brain damage, not expected to recover, or any other condition in which you do not wish to be kept alive. This is your opportunity to speak those wishes. And then if you get into a situation where it is more prolonged, what do you really, how comfortable do you want to be? This is something that obviously we think of hospice care. Mm-hmm. If you know that you have a chronic condition, perhaps it is congestive heart failure, perhaps it is a cancer diagnosis, perhaps it is, just talked with someone the other day whose mom is in hospice care because her kidneys are starting to shut down. You don't know how long hospice care means, mm-hmm. 6 months, if you think that you're not receiving treatment to get it better. You may have as much as 6 months. How comfortable do you want to be? Where do you want to be? Who do you want to have around you? Or, God forbid, who don't you want to have around you? And your wish for how you want people to treat you and what you want your loved ones to know. And I think this is the one that... that really is very interesting, because if indeed there comes a time when you cannot speak for yourself, you want to have that opportunity to say whatever it is that you haven't said. I think back to my own father, who had cancer, and he had surgery, and they were not able to remove the tumor. It was an esophageal tumor. We had already gone through the death of my mom through breast cancer, so my dad was already prepared for the fact that once they opened him up and took a look, the cancer may have spread. And if the cancer had spread, then the prognosis was much different. So they would just close him back up, and he had chosen to do that. So that is what happened. They found out that the cancer had spread, and it was inoperable, so brought him back to the room, and myself and two other siblings were in there, one of my brothers and one of my sisters. And my dad looked at us and said, well, then this is an opportunity for us to say the things we need to say and do the things we need to do. And this particular document has really some interesting things. I just wanted to share them. You cross out anything that you don't agree with in this document so that your family and your loved ones can look at it. I wish to have my family and friends know that I love them. I wish to be forgiven for the times I have hurt my family, friends, and others. I wish to have my family, friends, and others know that I forgive them for when they may have hurt me in my life. I wish for my family and friends to know that I do not fear death itself. I think it is not the end, but a new beginning for me. I wish for all of my family members to make peace with each other before my death, if they can. I wish for my family and friends to think about what I was like before I became seriously ill. I want them to remember me in this way after my death. I wish for my family and friends and caregivers to respect my wishes, even if they don't agree with them. I wish for my family and friends to look at my dying as a time of personal growth for everyone, including me. This will help me live a meaningful life in my final days. I wish for my family and friends to get counseling if they have trouble with my death. I want memories of my life to give them joy and not sorrow. And then there's a moment where you can say, do you want to be buried, cremated? What location do you want to be? Think about how helpful this would be for you, mm-hmm. as a family, if you could know that that loved one had made these wishes known, and you would be at much greater peace at that time. So this document is called Five Wishes. It can be attained at agingwithdignity.org, online, or hard copy.
I think something like that would also just help you be able to grieve as you need to grieve at, mm-hmm. that time when someone dies, so that, mm-hmm. you can work through that rather than having to deal with all of the other details that need to be worked out. If those things are worked out in advance, then...
It is already an emotional time to deal with that and have that happen to your loved one. And you are exactly right. It allows you to start that grieving process, to start that loss process. And there's a, and speaking of that, you didn't even know the segue that you gave me, did you? I did not pass you a note here across the desk to tell you that. But there's actually a new website that we've put together at Lutheran Senior Services that we hope will also educate folks in a certain way. And it is called How Hospice Helps.
Let's talk about that in just a
minute.
In
a moment.
Yes, let's take a quick break. And we'll talk about the website, How Hospice Helps, right after this break. We're talking with Jane Wilkie from Lutheran Senior Services on listener-supported worldwide KFUO. Stick around for more right after this break.
Two pastors, one an Italian wise guy, and the other a Ukrainian academic. What happens when you put them in the same room with no script and a bunch of sound effects? Well, you're just going to have to tune in to find out. The God Whisperers on Worldwide KFUO, Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. They're fun-loving, a little off the wall, but always solidly Lutheran. You will learn something every time or double your money back. It's okay to enjoy being Lutheran.
Who was your hero when you were a kid?
Neil Armstrong or Louis Armstrong?
Roberto Clemente or Walter Cronkite? Rosa Parks or Sally Ride?
You're the right age to do something you can be remembered for.
Register to become an organ and tissue donor.
Even if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, or beyond, any age is the right age to donate the gift of life.
Learn how at organdonor.gov or call 1-866-99-DONATE. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Do you have a reason to reach out to us at Worldwide KFUO? Is there a piece of communication you'd like for us to receive? It's not hard to reach us. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. If you missed it, the street address is found at the bottom of our homepage online, kfuoam.org. Every day we bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and song. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock Central and originates from Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County, where Reverend Dennis Kasten serves as senior pastor. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Hope Lutheran Church in St. Ann, Missouri, where Pastor Tim Ostermeyer leads divine worship. Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. It is Thursday, April 3rd. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio this morning, Jane Wilkie from Lutheran Senior Services. Jane, before we went to break, you were just getting ready to tell us about a website.
Yes, we have been talking about a document called Five Wishes that is really something that helps you plan for and express your wishes for how you might want to die if indeed you cannot speak for yourself. And if someone is just tuning in, I realize that this is a very depressing topic. And so I kept thinking as I was talking about it before, I thought, oh, somebody's just tuning in there thinking, oh my goodness, what a morbid topic. But when you really think about it, you made a good point, Andy, before we went to break, about how if you know you have expressed this yourself, and if your loved ones know that you have, how much more at peace you will be if that tragic thing happens and you or a loved one cannot speak for themselves. And we do find that that happens as well in hospice. We have a hospice agency, LSS Hospice Care. Wonderful, wonderful team, wonderful, caring, compassionate team. I cannot tell you enough about what lovely, gracious, wonderful people they are. The team includes a chaplain, a care director, a hospice director, nurses, and then also someone to help with the social worker, to help with that process of coordinating things, as well as helping coordinate with your grieving, and there's bereavement counseling even to follow. And so it's really an experience that no family wants to walk through. But many families don't want to think about it, so they really don't prepare. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that I would say everybody needs to do every day, but it may be something, especially if you have a chronic illness in your life and you think that it may lead to this, it is good to be prepared. So we put together a website called howhospicehelps.org. howhospicehelps.org. And in that website, we don't talk about our agency and we don't talk about hospice from the standpoint of here's what you need to do, pick up the phone. But there are some parts to it. There's a section called The Basics, and there are articles on what is hospice if mm-hmm. you really don't know and understand what it is. The myths and facts about hospice. And there's also an article there called It's About How You Live. Because I think one of the greatest misconceptions about hospice is about how you die. Mm. And it really is not. Hospice is about how you live, how you and your family can take control of your care options when you get into that situation, how to maximize the well-being of you and your family, how to enable individuals to be where they want to be, surrounded by the people they want to be surrounded by, to alleviate financial burdens that result from the medical care. I learned on this website that a hospice under Medicare and Medicaid covers 100% of the supplies of the medications related to your diagnosis. So at some point, when you give over to hospice and you bring hospice into your life, that also alleviates much of the financial burden. And then, of course, there's that support for family and friends. When they walk through this situation, believe me, I know, a mother, a father, and a sister having all been through hospice, there are individuals there that can help you walk through that process and help you make the most of that time that you have together. Then there's also sections on the website for patients, for families. But one of the most powerful parts about the website is there is a section called resources, and it includes hospice stories. So it includes the stories from individuals who have lived through this with a spouse, with a parent. And there's one that's rather amusing, and it was written by actually one of my staff members, Luke Smith, who talked about his grandparents and parents and the way they decided to talk about it. And it's called Death and Pizza. So they sat them down as a family and they said, okay, now we are going to talk about what our wishes are, what's going to happen, and then we're going to order pizza. And so in a way, the framework of it makes it sound probably like it's a sarcastic way of looking at it, very cynical. But what it did was, as you read the article, it really helps this young man who's only in his 30s to kind of look at the respect that he has for the people in his life who took that step, and then how they wanted to make it comfortable for everyone else. So How Hospice Helps is put together to simply be an educational tool. If you're curious, if you know it may come into your life, read this, take a look at some of the stories of the people who have lived through hospice, and you'll learn a lot more.
What a great way to help families or loved ones work through these things in a way that, as we said earlier, can, when the time comes, to allow you to focus on the grieving. Mm-hmm. And resources like this to help you know, if you want to know that you're not alone, that there are all those stories, as you said, too.
Well, and I do want to say, too, there comes that point at which where it's a wonderful part of your spiritual journey as well, just ending on a devotional thought. The loved ones that I have seen go through hospice have never been afraid of death. And my father, in fact, said, I looked at us and said, I am not afraid of dying. I am afraid of the pain. So he really was more focused on, he said, I am not afraid of dying. I know where I am going. Mm-hmm. I happen to have a sister who's living through cancer treatments right now. And what she said just a few weeks ago was, Jane, it's a win-win situation. If I win this fight of cancer here, I will be a longer time with my family and friends. If I don't win the fight of cancer here, I am going to be eternally with my Lord, my family, and friends. So just on that thought process, mm-hmm. to think about it from a standpoint of it's a win-win situation, all because of what Christ has done for us.
Amen. Amen. And in this Lenten season and the Easter right around the corner, resurrection right around the corner, great time to remember that we have this hope all because of what Jesus has done for us. Mm-hmm. He knows the pain of death. He knows that he took it on behalf of us. And because he did that, we don't have to know eternal death. We know we have this mm-hmm. hope of eternal life and this resurrection with him. What a joy.
And so this is really a way to just respect that and respect each other. And just going to give one more shout out to this document. Mm-hmm. Not a shout out, a speak out to the document called Five Wishes. And there is a 1-888 number, a toll-free number here. Let me share that, read that a couple of times if anyone is interested in getting this document. 888-594-7437. Again, 1-888-594-7437 or at agingwithdignity.org.
Very good. Jane, thanks for always pointing us to great resources to help us with those stages of life.
You are very welcome.
Always good to catch up with you each week. Looking forward to next week.
Absolutely. And I think you have some guests from talking about volunteering this next Monday.
We do. Mm-hmm. We do. Well, more His Time coming up in just a little bit. Stick around for the study of the Daily Lectionary right after this break.